to 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel 16. I'm going to try not keep us too long. Something very dear to my heart that I want to talk about, something that is important to all of us. And so we're going to be talking about King David. This is a weird little chapter in King David's life. His son Absalom has decided to take the throne from him. So David is having to flee out of Jerusalem. He's leaving with his entourage, and a couple interesting things happen to him that for years I've just passed over in Scripture, didn't think much about it, but a couple years ago it kind of jumped out at me. And it's so important, and I want us to go over this because I think we will all be blessed. But before David is threatened by his son Absalom, when the throne is securely given to David, King Saul dies, and King Saul's son Jonathan dies on the Battle of Mount Gibeah. I think I'm saying that name right. Well, anyways, there's this battle against the Philistines, and Saul, the king of Israel, passes away, and his son Jonathan. Now David becomes king of Israel. God's anointed has become king of Israel. And David, after everything, there's peace on all sides. David has time to reflect a little bit. And David loved Jonathan, Saul's son. They were immensely close. They were compadres, best buds. They deeply loved one another. Jonathan was faithful to David, even though he was Saul's son. Jonathan knew that the throne would be given to David eventually, and he still loved David with all of his heart. They just had a really awesome relationship as brothers. So when David becomes king and he's firmly established, he begins to think, where in the world could I find somebody in Saul's line that I can bless? Anybody related to Saul, Jonathan, that I can bless? And so what he does is he finds this guy Ziba, who was one of Saul's servants. Now, we got to remember just a few names. Ziba, okay, Mephibosheth, and David. Those are our main players. Ziba, Mephibosheth, all God's people said Mephibosheth, and King David. And Absalom's in there a little bit too. Well, anyways, Ziba is Saul's servant. And Ziba's doing all right, man. He's got like 15 male children, which was a big deal back then. If you had 15 male children, that'd be a pretty big deal now too, but that was a big deal back then. And he had a bunch of servants. So Ziba, even though he was Saul's servant, he was doing okay. You know, he had a lot of servants. He had a lot going on. David tracks down Ziba, Saul's servant, and says, hey man, do you know of anybody alive? Is there anybody in Saul's bloodline that I can just bless? I want to do this. This is important to me. Ziba's like, well, there's this one cat. Jonathan had a boy. And so Jonathan's boy, Mephibosheth, remember, Jonathan is David's buddy. Jonathan's dead. Jonathan has a boy named Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth, when, I hope I'm not confusing the heck out of you guys, but you guys are bright folks. So, anywho, when Saul and David die on this battle, on this mountain, Mephibosheth's nurse panics, freaks out, and runs and drops Mephibosheth, or Mephibosheth falls. The little guy, 5 years old, and he's crippled. He's crippled for the rest of his life. He's lame, okay? So David brings in Mephibosheth, finds him, and you can imagine how terrified Mephibosheth must have been to be called into King David's presence. Because back then, what kings like to do, you know, is if they found somebody that could possibly cause trouble for their throne, man, they just wanted to do away with them, get them out of the picture, you know, kill them. So Mephibosheth's called up. He's in the presence of David, and David says, looky here, everything that belonged to your grandpa Saul, all the lands, all that stuff, it's now yours. I give it all to you. And he says to Ziba, Saul's old servant, Ziba, you take care of this stuff for Mephibosheth, okay? You're now Mephibosheth's servant. So that's the background. Now we're jumping forward, and there's tons of stuff that we're just not going to get to. It's all good. Please read 1 and 2 Samuel. It's all wonderful, and it's all good for our encouragement and teaching and training and all that stuff. But we're just focusing on one main thing today, because it is so important. It is such a blessing if we can grab a hold of this. So anywho, years pass. David, through some sin, you got mail. David, through some sin and some horrible parenting, now Absalom, David's son, says, you know what, I'm going to be king. David has to flee for his life, so he's heading out of Jerusalem. Everybody with me now? All right, okay. 2 Samuel 16, verse 1. When David had passed a little beyond the summit, this is David fleeing for his life. When David had passed a little beyond the summit, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of donkeys saddled, bearing 200 loaves of bread, 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a skin of wine. So here's Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth now. Couple donkeys and a bunch of goods, man, a bunch of good stuff for David. And the king said to Ziba, "Why have you brought these?" Ziba answered, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who faint in the wilderness to drink." Verse 3. This is important. Verse 3. And the king said, "And where is your master's son?" Or where's Mephibosheth? Where's the guy that I brought into my palace? Where's the guy that I've given all of his grandpa's lands and treasures to? And where's the guy that I let eat at my table just like he's one of my sons every day? Where's that guy? Where's Mephibosheth? I'm glad to see you. Thanks for all the goodies. But where's Mephibosheth, man? And the king said, "And where is your master's son?" Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he remains in Jerusalem. For he said, 'Today the house of Israel will give me back the kingdom of my father.'" Now remember, Mephibosheth, Saul, the first king of Israel, was his grandpa. So Ziba says, he wants to stay in town because he thinks what's going on here is going to work for his benefit, that he's going to be installed as the king of Israel. That's highly unlikely. Obviously, even if Mephibosheth is thinking that, he's not even on the radar of anybody. This is a civil war between Absalom and King David, but that's what Ziba says. Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he remains in Jerusalem, for he said, 'Today the house of Israel will give me back the kingdom of my father.'" Then the king said to Ziba, "Behold, all that belonged to Mephibosheth is now yours." See what David did? Look, all right, you've been faithful. You've been a good dude here. You brought me some raisins and some goodies and some wine and a couple donkeys and all that. So Mephibosheth sold me out here. Mephibosheth did me wrong. So Ziba, you've been good to me, brother. It's all yours now. Everything that was Saul's that went to Mephibosheth is now yours, bro. And Ziba, even though King David's having a pretty bad day, he's having a horrible day. All Israel is in this upside down situation. Ziba's having an all right time, man. He just got blessed with all this stuff. He went from being Mephibosheth's servant to just super, super loaded and rich. There's a point I'm trying to get to, but this stuff's kind of important. And Ziba said, "I pay homage. Let me ever find favor in your sight, my lord the king." Let's go to the next slide. Y'all with me so far? So this is the beginning of this war. David has to go, man. He's got to go for his life. He leaves some of his concubines to take care of the residence, the palace. But other than that, man, he's gone. He has a couple folks back there doing some things for him, but he's gone. Now he's got this whole war that he's got to fight with his son Absalom. So that takes place. Absalom loses, if you didn't know that. I hope this is somewhat familiar to you guys. I hope so. But if not, go back and read it, because there's so much that I'm kind of jumping over just to make this one point. Anyways, the war's over. Absalom, he dies. So David is no longer a king in exile. He's going back to Jerusalem. Now, remember on his way out, he met old Cool Ziba. Cool Ziba, you know, was like, "Hey, man, Mephibosheth done did you wrong, but here I am. I'm your boy." 2 Samuel 19 and 24 is where we're going to start. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. War's over. No Ziba. Ziba's probably tend to all his goodies, man. Maybe he's a little nervous. I don't know. But here comes Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, remember this guy's lame, he's crippled. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. He had neither taken care of his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came back in safety. And when he came to Jerusalem, so Mephibosheth wasn't looking too good, man. And when he came to Jerusalem to meet the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?" So during all this, one thing that David hasn't forgot is that Mephibosheth wasn't there when he was fleeing. And he'd been good to Mephibosheth. He'd been above and beyond good to Mephibosheth. Remember when Mephibosheth went to meet King initially, Mephibosheth was probably pretty worried he wasn't going to leave there alive. That's just how things went back then. Okay, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? Verse 26, he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me." Okay, what's going on? Mephibosheth said, that dude Ziba, man, he tricked me. You know, I can't move. I can't get around by myself, man. And he did all this crazy stuff and left me behind. I wanted to go with you, king. "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said to him, I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go with the king. For your servant is lame. He has slandered your servant to my lord, the king. But my lord, the king is like the angel of God. Do therefore what seems good to you." Mephibosheth's, you know, he hasn't bathed, wearing dirty clothes and all this. He's been a mess for a very long time. He's like, "You know what? King David, you've been so good to me. You do whatever you see fit to do, but just let me get this out there, man. It wasn't me, man. It was Ziba. My servant, man, he did me wrong. He come up with this big old scheme, man, to get all my stuff." Now jump with me to verse 29. We're just skipping one verse if you're following along in the Bible. "And the king said to him," this is it right here. Okay, this is where everything's coming together. We got two dudes, man, Ziba and Mephibosheth. One of these cats are lying. Y'all got that? One of these dudes are lying. "And the king said to him, why speak any more of your affairs? I have decided you and Ziba shall divide the land." So one of them's lying, and the one that's lying just still got super blessed. He gets half of that stuff now. But see, the important thing in this situation here, and this is so just amazing to me, because my Christian walk, man, my journey as a Christian, I've bored you to tears with me talking about this in times past, but it has been so important to my Christian walk, amongst other things, but this has been one of the big hurdles of my life is just letting things go, man. Just forgiving folks, you know. And you see David, he's like, "You know what? Let's just not talk about it anymore. Y'all split the land. It's done. It's a done deal." Now notice, David is the king of Israel, okay? He's been having a tough time, but he's absolutely no stranger to bloodshed. Certainly, he can get these two guys in the dungeon and work some things out and figure out what's going on. He can get down to the bottom of it just like that, you know. But he says, "You know what? I'm just going to let it go." Now, look at what Jesus Christ did for us, guys, because this is a picture of what Jesus does for us. We've done all these things, you know, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard." We've all broken God's law. We've all been knuckleheads. You know, we've all done things we shouldn't do. And when we accept Jesus Christ, it's all washed away. He throws it away, you know. He throws it away like it never, ever happened. And so David says, "Just let it go. I'm just going to let it go, man." You know, in the big scheme of things, you guys did me really, really wrong. One of you did, but you know what? I'm not dwelling on it anymore. It's a done deal. You guys just split up the property. You guys can hang out together. Okay. Now, that's interesting, man, because one of the things that I always struggled with when I felt like somebody did me wrong back in the day is I took it, I took it to this weird level to where I had to go back and do like this forensic evidence, so to speak, and find out how everything fell into place, how these people or this person or whatever, why they would do this, how they would do this. And I would just go over this stuff over and over and over again in my mind until I was just this miserably bitter, hateful person. And David clearly says, I'm not going that route. It's like it never happened. And that's what we got to do, church people. You know, we can offend each other. And I do it all the time to people. And I almost never mean to do it. I mean, I never mean to do it. But, you know, we can offend each other. And Satan wants to bring division into the church. You know, so we just got to get to that place where I want to be like Jesus. You know, I want to be like Jesus and say, you know what? I'm just going to let it go. This person does not have to see it my way. And that's true. Because that's another thing that I was king of doing, man, is as I would push and push and you got to see it my way. If you see it my way, that's right, Brother Larry. Yeah, and I didn't do it justice, but anywho, like I said, I ain't no singer, but I am a heck of a dancer. Heck of a dancer, I say. Anywho. You know, nobody has to, you don't have to get any closure on the issue. You don't have to sit down and say, well, this is my point. It's good if you can do that. It's good if you can, you know, just work everything out. But see what David did, he's like, you know what? I'm done with it. It's like it never happened, man. I just release you guys. I release you. That's what Jesus does for us. He doesn't bring it up ever again. All the things we've done, he doesn't bring it up over and over again. He doesn't say, well, hey, you know what? I was thinking about what you did back in 1984. I know I forgave you. I know we're cool, but let's retrace some steps. How did you, you know, he doesn't do that. And we don't have to do that, man, because we hold on to things and it just festers. And God says, man, just let it go. Let's bring healing into these situations. Just let it go. Forget about it. You don't have to be right. You don't have to have people see it your way. We just got to love, man. Amen. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. So, yeah, right here. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. These should all be on your bulletin. So you don't have to run around in the Bible unless you want to. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. Hopefully you're a little familiar with that chapter as well. If not, get into it. Super awesome. We have a beautiful picture of what love looks like. Okay, what love isn't and what love looks like. Now look with me at 13 and verse 5. This is coming to you out of the NIV. This is what I got. It does not dishonor others. Talking about love, okay? What does love not do? It does not dishonor others. It does not dishonor others. You don't have to slander. You don't have to gossip. You don't have to get your point across. This is God. This isn't Paul. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not about me. It's really, not only is it not about you, it's not about you. It's about God. It's about His kingdom. You know what I mean? So the ungodly or the unsaved or the pagan, the unbeliever, they can do whatever they want to. They belong to somebody else. But God says, you're my babies and be holy because I'm holy. And there's a reason why God tells us to do these things. God says, you know, my commands aren't burdensome. I'm not trying to steal your fun. All right. There's a reason for all this stuff. So, this is just a tiny little picture of what love looks like. You're like, well, that's fine and dandy, but these people that hurt me or offended me, I don't love them. Okay? Yeah, I get it. Well, remember, Christians are called to love our neighbor, okay? And that's something, that's a process. I understand. That's something that we're all working on, man. And that just doesn't mean the guy that lives beside you. But these are the people in our world. Okay, God says, show them my love. So, little picture of love here. It does not dishonor others, because that's the first thing I want to do, man. You know, honestly, when somebody's mean to me or I feel like they've crossed the line with me, I want to set the record straight, man. I want to get on the mountaintop. It is not self-seeking. It's not about me. It's about God. It is not easily angered. My goodness gracious. It is not easily angered. So God's calling me to be patient, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Now, this is the grand poobah of what I'm trying to get at. Remember, David just said, it's gone. It's done with. I don't care. I give it to God. It keeps no record of wrongs. Think about that, man. You know who's got great marriages? People that don't keep records of wrongs. You know what I mean? Just give it to God. Yeah. So, matter of fact, a lot of times when I'm doing marriage counseling and I'm in this little office in there, I got these manila folders, manila file things, you know, that I keep stuff in. I never keep the right things in it. When anyone says, hey, can you find this? Can you do this? Can you dig this up, this thing I gave you? I can never find it. I don't know what happens to it. I think Sister Claudia moves everything around. I don't know. But I got these files, man. And so when I'm doing marriage counseling, one time I like looked over at these, you know, manila files or tan files, and I was like, see, what we, I was trying to sound smart, you know. These people are getting marriage counseling, about to make this worst decision in their life. These people are about to make this really important decision, you know. So I'm like, you see these files here, some files are thick, some have hardly nothing in them. And see, we have a file on every, mentally, we have a file on every person we know. And so what we need to do is just clean out the files of all the bad stuff. It's true, man. It's true. Don't keep the records of the wrongs, man. You know, just let it go. You know what I'm saying? We would be so much better off. You know, with your family members, with your mates, with your kids, you know, with people in your church, your circle, whatever, just let it go. That's not being a wimp, man. That's being what God wants you to be. Amen? It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Look at Matthew 22 and verse 37. This is Jesus talking. And he said to him, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus had just shut down the Sadducees, and the Pharisees come up for another round trying to make Jesus look bad. Never works out good for anybody when they try and do that. Matthew 22 and verse 37. So this Pharisee, this lawyer, says, what's the greatest commandment? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You see what's going on there? Jesus said, the number one commandment, man, I'm talking about gold star, man. I'm talking about gold medal Christian guy right here, man. Love God more than anything else with my thoughts when I'm having a thought that's not godly. And we have them, you know, we have, you know. Oh, I can't think about that. Because, see, that's where the unforgiveness is right there, man. I keep thinking about things, and God says, just let it go, man. Let it go. Let it go. Love God more than you have to get even with this person or people. And I know some of us have been like devastated, man. Evil things have happened to some of you guys. I'm not saying evil things did not. I'm saying I know bad things happen to good people all the time. But God says, you know what? Vengeance is mine. I'll take care of that. Your job is to forgive. Your job is to just let it go, man. Okay, this is what the Bible says. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And Jesus says, there's another one. There's another verse. And keep in mind, Jesus isn't saying that one is greater or one is less than the other. He says it's a package deal. You got part A and part B. Just like when you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are about man's relationship to God. The other six are about man's relationship with man. Okay? So maybe you really don't care so much for that person that has offended you. But how are you feeling about God? You know, because we're supposed to love God with everything that we are. And just like me, my kids, man, sometimes they fight so brutally and can be so savage against one another, man. And it is heartbreaking for me as a father because I love them all. I do have a favorite. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I don't have a favorite. I don't. Shame on you guys. No, I don't have, but I love my kids and they can be so just mean and hateful to one another. And it, as a father, it breaks my heart, man, because I love them. You know, I love them. It's like, man, love one another. But see, here's the deal. Maybe, just maybe, you haven't gotten to that place yet where these people, this person, this group, this guy, this lady, whoever that has hurt you in whatever way, you say, I don't know if I love them. I honestly don't. Okay, well, do you love God? Do you love God? Let's start there, because God says, those are my babies, man. I know you got some problems with them, and I know they did you wrong, you know, but I want them to be saved if they're not saved. So I need you to kick it into high gear and show them the love of Jesus, man. You know, so this is the dealio, you know. We got to remember that these people, person, group, whoever, they're precious to God. Even if they're not walking with him yet, he says, I don't want anyone to perish. I want them to belong to me. So just because they don't go to church, or they see something a different way, or they vote a different way, or they, you know, just let it go. They hurt you, let it go. Just like David did. Can I get a witness? Just like Jesus did for us. And the second is like it. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I don't like that verse near as much as I like the first one. I'm just being honest, right? I love God. I'm a very selfish person. But I'm not stupid no matter what Rachel and my mama told y'all. No, they're right. No. Look, I love God. And God, it's easy to love him when you see what he's done for us. You know what I mean? He died so I can live. My sins are forgiven. He knows how selfish and vile and wicked I can be. And he says, you know what? I throw all that stuff away. You know, because he loves us. It's easy to love God when I get my eyes on him. Not so easy to love the knuckleheads down here that we walk amongst, right? But you know what? This is what God says. I love them, and you love them. You need to love them. Love them enough, love me enough to just let it go. Don't hold anybody in bondage or in debt to what they've done to you. Amen. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. This verse right here, I've told you this before. I know this is just going over stuff again. But I'm telling you, this has been the big deal with my Christian walk. And there's a lot of other sins in my life, a lot of other things that I continually have to give to God. But I think this is the one that came closest to not just ruining my life, but my marriage, my family life. It's all need to know stuff, but you know, it's private stuff. But if a name or something would get mentioned, man, I'd go crazy. You know, where I feel like somebody did me wrong, man, and I was gonna let anybody know. You bring that name up, man, I'm gonna break some of my own personal dishes, man. I'm probably gonna put a hole in my wall or something. I'm gonna show you how much I don't like this person by destroying my own stuff and freaking my kids out. You know what I mean? Anywho, this is the verse, not all at once, but this is the work that began to pierce my heart. Not that I've got it all together, man, but I can't go back to that place. I can't. I cannot. I'll do everything in my power, and what I cannot do, I'll lean on Jesus, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I cannot go back to that place of bitterness. I can't do it. I can't. It's death for me. I'm serious. This verse is really what did it. Be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. See, when my own kids are being so hurtful to one another, I just wish they could just have a little tenderness, you know, and think, well, you know, this is my blood here. You know, this is my whatever. Because, you know, it's got to break God's heart, our Father's heart, when he sees us fighting amongst ourselves, you know, and having bitterness and all that stuff, man. This is our Heavenly Father. You know, remember Jesus, when the woman that was caught in the act of adultery and all these guys, you know, were trying to pin Jesus up against the wall and saying, what do you think we should do, ma'am? And Jesus kneels down and writes something in the dirt, and they're saying, what do you want to do, Jesus? What do you want to do with this harlot, with this woman that has been caught in the act of adultery, this bad girl, man? What should we do, Jesus? And man, he doesn't say nothing. He don't say nothing. But can you imagine Jesus being the Son of God, being God in human form? Can you imagine how his heart felt? You know how we are just so eager and quick to rip apart one another? You know, it's just not worth it. We got to be like Jesus. We got to be like Stephen. We got to be like God the Father. We got to be like, what are we talking? Oh, David. Yeah, we got to be like David and just throw that junk away. And don't go back and revisit it. You don't have to make your points. You don't have to get closure. You give it to God and let him sort it out. Can I get a witness? Amen. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Forgiving one another. And I get that, man. Some stuff is ouchy, man. Some stuff is hardcore smart. Some stuff really hurts really, really bad. You know, betrayals, stuff like that, man. You know, that stuff stings. But God says, hey, just let it go, man. Everyone try and use that voice. Just let it go. Like Michael Jackson getting up in the morning. Let it go, man. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's really what it's all about right there. You know, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, my sins are forgiven. God, I'm no longer at enmity with God. I'm no longer God's enemy. You understand what I'm saying? Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, my sins are forgiven. And God is saying, Paul is saying in the book of Ephesians, look what's been done for you, okay? Look what's been done for you. Now, why in the world, when Jesus is willing to release somebody, when Jesus is willing to forgive somebody and just let it go so they can live forever with him, why in the world would you say, Jesus, I get what you're doing here, but they did this to me and I'm not letting them go? See how silly that sounds, but that's how we get, man, because it hurts us. Man, it hurts us. But see, do we love God enough to say, if you love me, will you do the things I command? Not just the things you want to do, you know? But there's a whole big picture that you're not really focusing on because you got hurt. And he loves us and he wants to get us through that pain. And one of the major steps is just releasing it, man. Giving it to him. Cast our cares upon him because he cares for you. Can I get a witness up in this? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So, amen. Amen. That's a very good point, my brother. Look, guys, I want to just take a couple seconds. And in the presence of our brothers and sisters in Christ, let's pick somebody out and say what we really don't like about them. No, I'm playing. I had to do that, man, at this horrible, horrible ideal that my boss did when I was I worked at the shelter for troubled kids. And at the Christmas party of all things, man, she gets all the workers together. She says, this is what we're going to do. This is good. Where she got this ideal, where she heard of it, whatever, it was the horriblest thing I've ever had to be a part of, man. Not the horriblest thing, but she said, I want you to go around and you look at every single person you work with and tell them one thing you like about them and one thing you can't stand about them. I was like, this is horrible, man. And I kept trying to get out of it. And we were all pushed to doing this. And by the time three or four people told me what they couldn't stand about me, yeah, I was about ready to just go crazy, man. You know, I was like, this is horrible. Absolutely horrible. I never knew you felt that way about me, you know. But you got to let go, right? Just let it go. Let it go. And yeah, you spend the rest of your working time with these people thinking, oh, okay. All right. Let's see what you think about that. I see. It's easy to, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm glad I don't work there. We're going to spend the next couple minutes, man. And if you are holding on to any bitterness or unforgiveness, and I know, man, I know some people have been done wrong. I know some people have been done wrong. I know it. I get it, man. I'm not saying that ain't true, but I'm saying God wants us to be free. So I want you to give it to the Lord right now, whatever it is. You know, might be somebody in here, might be one of your family members, might be your mate, might, I don't know what it is, but I know there's a blessing bigger than what we can understand if we just give this stuff to the Lord. And when we give it to the Lord in the next couple minutes, time's going to pass. You know, it might be in the parking lot, might be tomorrow, might be tonight, might be a week from now, where you'll start to think about that person again. You got to return back to the decision you're making right here. I release that person. I'm not going to dwell on this. I'm not going to go over it over and over again. I release them because this is what Jesus wants me to do. And I want that blessing that comes with it. Galatians 6 and verse 9, and let us not grow weary of doing good. Don't grow weary. Don't give up, man. You're not being a wimp. All right. You're being what God wants you to be. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. God's calling us to do something that's difficult, but we can do this, and we're going to be blessed for it. Amen? So let's just give it all to God right now. Father God, I ask you right now to forgive me of all my sins, all my unforgiveness, Lord. I release everybody that I've ever held against, Lord. Anybody that I've ever had hatred or bitterness or unforgiveness to, I just give them to you, Lord. And I ask you to forgive me and make me whole, Lord. We love you and we praise you, Lord God. Thank you that I want to be what you want me to be, Lord. I don't have to get even. I don't have to settle no score. I don't have to have people see it my way. I just want to be what you want me to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go back to that, guys. Go seriously. Go back to this decision that you just made. You know, when you hear that name or that thought comes in your mind or whatever, just go back to this decision right now. I give that to the Lord. I forgive this person. I will not be in bondage ever again.